Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Every Summer After, by Carly Fortune. Is a contemporary second chance romance centered on Persephone Fraser, known as Percy, and Sam Florek, and the boy she loved during a series of formative summers in a lakeside Ontario town. First published in 2022, the novel moves between adolescence and adulthood, using alternating timelines to show how intimacy, loyalty, miscommunication, and regret accumulate over time. Its immediate plot is set in motion when Percy returns to Barry's Bay after the death of Sam's mother, forcing her to revisit both the place and the relationship she has avoided for years. The book belongs firmly to modern commercial romance, but its emotional emphasis is less on courtship alone than on memory, consequence, and the difficulty of separating first love from first failure. Its purpose is to make the familiar childhood friends to lovers structure feel emotionally lived in by tying romance to place, family, and the lasting pressure of one damaging choice. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the six-summer structure turns first love into a long emotional record. A defining feature of Every Summer After is its movement between six summers in Percy and Sam's youth and the present-day weekend that reunites them. This structure does more than create suspense about what went wrong. It allows the reader to watch emotional history form gradually, with each summer adding a new layer of trust, attraction, jealousy, family familiarity, and vulnerability. Because the childhood chapters are not presented as a single nostalgic block, the relationship feels incremental rather than predetermined. Percy and Sam move from neighbors and friends into a more complicated bond shaped by proximity, adolescence, and the relative freedom of the lake. The present timeline, by contrast, shows the cost of interruption. Their idle interactions carry the weight of things the reader only partially understands at first, making silence and hesitation feel narratively meaningful. This dual structure also reflects how memory works in the novel. The past is not merely background information, it is active pressure on the present. By alternating between what was felt then and what must be confronted now, Fortune makes the romance depend on emotional continuity rather than simple reunion. Secondly, the lake setting functions as an emotional anchor, not just a summer backdrop. The Ontario lake setting is central to the book's effect, because it gives Percy and Sam's relationship a physical and seasonal pattern. The cottage, the water, the neighboring houses, and the rhythms of summer create a contained world in which the characters can become unusually important to each other. For Percy, the lake is not only a vacation place but a version of home where she is less constrained by her ordinary school year identity. For Sam, whose family is rooted in the town, the setting carries continuity, responsibility, and local belonging. This difference matters because the same place means escape to one character and permanence to another. The setting also strengthens the novel's nostalgia without making it purely decorative. Returning to Barry's Bay as an adult means entering a landscape filled with emotional evidence, familiar roots, family spaces, and memories that have not disappeared simply because Percy left. In this way, place becomes a mechanism for reckoning. The lake preserves the intensity of youth, but it also exposes how incomplete avoidance can be when the past is tied to a specific geography. Thirdly, Percy's avoidance shows how guilt can freeze adult identity. Percy's adult life is shaped by distance from the people and place that once defined her summers. The novel presents this distance not as simple independence, but as a defensive response to guilt and unresolved loss. Her decision to stay away from Barry's Bay suggests that avoiding pain can become a long-term organizing principle. She has continued living, but the part of her connected to Sam, his family, and the lake remains suspended. This gives the romance a psychological dimension. The obstacle is not merely whether two people still love each other, but whether Percy can accept responsibility without reducing herself to her worst decision. Her narration is important because it shows how regret can distort memory. She remembers joy, but she also filters it through the knowledge of harm done later. The book, therefore, connects emotional maturity with the ability to tell the truth about oneself. Percy must move beyond self-protection, not because forgiveness is guaranteed, but because honesty is necessary for any future relationship. This makes her arc one of accountability as much as romantic longing. Fourthly, Sam and Percy's bond depends on friendship before romance. The novel's romantic appeal rests heavily on the fact that Percy and Sam are first established as friends. Their connection begins through ordinary summer closeness, shared time, easy conversation, neighboring houses, and the gradual discovery of each other's interests and vulnerabilities. This matters because the later romance is grounded in familiarity rather than instant attraction alone. The reader is invited to see why they trust each other before they desire each other, and why the eventual rupture is so damaging. Sam is not only Percy's love interest, he is tied to her sense of belonging during some of her most formative years. Likewise, Percy becomes part of Sam's family environment, which raises the emotional stakes beyond a private teenage relationship. The friendship foundation also complicates the second chance structure. Reconciliation would mean recovering not just romantic possibility but a lost pattern of companionship. Fortune uses this dynamic to distinguish longing from mere nostalgia. The characters are drawn back to each other because they once knew how to be themselves together, but adulthood requires them to test whether that old intimacy can survive changed circumstances and painful knowledge. Lastly, the novel uses a familiar romance framework to examine forgiveness realistically. Every Summer, After follows recognizable elements of contemporary romance childhood friends. Summer nostalgia, separation, unresolved betrayal, and a reunion prompted by a family event, its distinctiveness lies less in structural surprise than in the emotional handling of forgiveness. The book does not treat the past as a misunderstanding that can be cleared away without consequence. The central wound has endured because it altered trust and changed the characters' lives. As a result, forgiveness is presented as a process involving confession, grief, anger, and the choice to reconsider a person in full rather than only through the injury they caused. This approach gives the ending its emotional logic. The question is not whether love still exists, since the narrative makes that bond visible throughout, but whether love can coexist with accountability. The novel also acknowledges that first love can be both deeply formative and incomplete. Percy and Sam's younger selves lacked the tools to handle everything they felt, while their adult selves must decide whether maturity makes repair possible. This balance between genre satisfaction and emotional consequence is central to the book's appeal. In conclusion, Every Summer After is best suited to readers who enjoy contemporary romance built around memory, emotional regret, and the slow recovery of trust. It will especially appeal to fans of second-chance love stories, childhood friends who become lovers, and novels where setting carries as much emotional importance as plot. Readers looking for a high concept or highly unpredictable narrative may find some of its broad movements familiar, but those who value atmosphere and emotional excavation are more likely to appreciate its strengths. The practical benefit of the novel is its clear attention to communication, accountability, and the way avoidance can extend pain rather than resolve it. Intellectually, it offers a readable study of how place and adolescence shape adult identity, particularly when a formative relationship ends without true closure. Compared with many summer romances, the book stands out through its tightly focused structure of six past summers and one present weekend, which gives the love story a concentrated sense of time and consequence. Its lake setting is not interchangeable scenery. It is the container for friendship, family attachment, desire, and regret. Carly Fortune's debut succeeds by making a familiar romance pattern feel specific, emotionally coherent, and grounded in the ache of returning to the place where one's younger self made irreversible choices. If you would like to support Carly Fortune, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.